Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today's topic, big data and how cloud can make it manageable. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Experts estimate that the world will generate 7 zettabytes of data by 2014. That's 1 billion terabytes, or 10 to the 21st bytes of data. In other words, that's a lot of data. The federal government is right in the middle of that data tsunami. Each administration is producing vast amounts of data, in some cases tripling, quadrupling the information produced by the White House before them. And while the data deluge is happening, agencies have realized, well, it's all about the data. And only through understanding the information, then senior management can figure out the best ways to meet their varied missions. The Obama administration launched data.gov platform to help manage agency data. Federal Chief Information Officer Stephen Van Roekel expects to upgrade data.gov in the coming months by giving developers more access in a richer way to create useful apps. Additionally, agencies are turning to business analytics and intelligence tools to begin the shift through all this mounds of data. Others see cloud computing as a way to make data more accessible, understandable, and most importantly, manageable. Today on the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware, we will discuss how agencies can take advantage of the cloud to help them do just that, take control of big data. So Doug, let's get started. Let's start at the beginning. What's the real problem with big data?
Well, Jason, the first problem, the obvious one, is just simply the volume of it. As I think you mentioned, in 2010, the world generated over, you know, 1 zettabyte of data. But projections are that by 2014, that number will increase to about 7 zettabytes per year. And that's a significant volume of data. I mean, when I was a CIO at a federal agency, you know, we were talking about terabytes, you know, being, you know, fairly significant volumes of data. And then now, you know, talking about zettabytes being, you know, a billion terabytes is just that scale of that is massive. And that creates certain problems with the infrastructure to be able to take in that data, to be able to provide the computing capability to validate it and analyze it, and to provide, you know, results to users in a very reasonable time frame. And then the structure of that data is also not according to any particular database schema. It's very unpredictable content, and it's not structured. It makes it even more difficult to process and to make, you know, sense of it, particularly in a timely fashion. And that creates, you know, challenges for the enterprise to do anything with it.
It's funny that you bring up the idea of terabytes. I remember buying a backup drive for my home computer, and I was like, ooh, it's half a terabyte, or ooh, it's 2 terabytes. Now that just seems like such a little bit amount of data storage when you think about the pictures and the music and the videos and all those things that add to it. And when you relate that back to federal agencies, they're doing the same thing. Social media, the idea of putting videos on sites, all these tools now create this bigger pool of data.
Absolutely. If, you know, for example, there are so many different initiatives which are capturing data at unprecedented levels. I mean, we've got all kinds of instrumentation occurring with respect to energy consumption, even within appliances and automobiles and all kinds of other uses, data centers, to be more to the point. Within transportation, we've got instrumentation on geospatial and location analysis and diagnostics of all kinds of everything from vehicles to, again, machinery and manufacturing and so on that are kind of phoning home the, you know, the capability to the cloud of, you know, what's going on within the particular machine. And as you mentioned, video formats, image files being used not just in our personal lives, which is significant, but also, you know, in the medical industry, right? So all that, you know, volumes and volumes of data is being collected at unprecedented rates, and that's just bursting, you know, at the seams, the infrastructure and the application's ability to deal with it.
Well, one thing you mentioned when we were talking earlier was about the applications and be able to process all this data. What stress does that put on the current way applications and data centers are developed in terms of processing all that data?
In my view, it puts stresses in two fundamental areas, you know, maybe a tangential and a third. But the first is most applications were developed, you know, at a time when they relied on relational databases to process and store the information that they used and accessed. And this volume of data, you know, to a certain point, these databases were able to keep up and scale vertically, you know, in order to keep up with that volume. But the rate has grown, you know, at such a large margin of the proliferation of this data that that type of technology, the relational database, can no longer just keep up and scale in an economic fashion. And then secondarily to that is the associated performance problems that that causes. Most applications in use today, and certainly the Java web-based applications, require fast transactional response times, and they have a very, very low tolerance for latency in the network and then in waiting for data response, typically less than a second, where the applications, you know, just simply cannot deal with those types of delays. And the combination of the technology and the relational database not being able to keep up with the volume, that leads to the delay in the response, and that causes the applications not to function. And we all get extremely frustrated when our applications time out. So it becomes an end user acceptability issue on top of that. It makes it even worse.
That was the first thing that came to my mind as you were talking about the latency issue. I was thinking, oh, and the people who don't understand how that backend works, the frustration builds. Why are the Java applications specifically that you talked about, and I'm sure others too, they have low tolerance for latency? When you say that, what does that mean? It means that they just will time out or what?
That's exactly right. You know, I call them micro applications. And you know, this is, you know, a subject potentially for a whole nother discussion. But the application development and the architecture and the structure of applications has changed radically in the last few years with the mobility and the App Store concept to micro applications, which are very simple in terms of their function to the user, but they require very, very fast response time. They capture small amounts of data, they hit the back end very quickly, and they come back with a result. And they just cannot sit there and process because you're remote. So, you know, other things are going on from a network connectivity standpoint, and they just do not have that robust capability to hang on and wait for minutes while the database chugs away to find and process and reduce to the answer you really want.
And you brought up the keyword there, mobility. I mean, so much data is being created outside of that traditional data center. You know, people aren't at their desks typing away, creating databases, creating spreadsheets, and then saving them to the network. It's being created on tablets, on smartphones, teleworking. That obviously adds to the bigger challenge.
Certainly it does, because as you mentioned, the vast majority of the data that's being created in today's enterprise environment is being created at the edge, and that creates a significant challenge, you know, first to capture it, and then where do you put it? And if the traditional structure is to pull that data to the data center, that in itself creates an issue of movement, you know, through the network. Then you need to store it, and that creates issues with the database as, you know, the way that technology works, it locks everything out while it's doing the update, and that creates slowdowns for the applications and so on and so forth. And it just cascades from there. It's a spiral that really gets out of control pretty quickly.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to figure out how to get control of that out of control spiral. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal.
Discover virtualization best practices on storage, networking, performance, and security with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Today's topic is big data, how the cloud can make it manageable. Now, Doug, before break, we were talking about that spiral of data creation, how to control it, how to manage it. Let's talk a little about how the cloud can make managing, understanding big data much easier.
Well, the first is to, you know, understand and in fact take advantage of the fact that the data is being created at the edge. And by that I mean, instead of trying to move it to the central data center through, you know, a whole series of hops in the network, take advantage of distributed data management technology to keep the data distributed in the cloud. And there are data fabrics, they're called, you know, technology that allow data to be distributed and managed in a manner that provides the benefits of the traditional database, like reliability, but then addresses the big data problem by addressing the performance issues we mentioned and allowing the data fabric to be scalable, which then, you know, obviously will enable the continued growth of data proliferation due to the increased instrumentation that we talked about. So, you know, it addresses some of those core issues.
You talk about distributed database. Now, there was a move in the late 2000s, maybe 2006, 2007 timeframe to go federated. Got to federate your database instead of distributed. Is there a move back with the cloud? Does that make the move back from federation to distribution, or is it just an evolution more than a change?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a change. I think evolution is a good word for it. It's really not federated in that the attempts of the past to federate databases still had to rely on the underlying technology component, the relational database management system, and that in itself is a constraining factor with the cloud and the big data issue. So while in a way you can think about it as being federated, it's really distributed data management in the cloud that is going to solve this problem from a big data perspective.
And the latency issue that you talked about, is that being taken care of because there's not this one big database that sits in the world in the cloud somewhere? It's a bunch of little ones, but the web services and the other technologies that you talked about, they're called the data fabric, that can shoot kind of in between the clouds and pull the data that you're requesting. Is that how it works?
That is correct.
I simplified it. Don't worry.
It essentially is the difference between the speed of light and the speed of sound. Okay. Whereas the old relational database technology was constrained by the speed of sound, meaning how that technology goes to the disk at that technology level. The data fabric distributed cloud technology I mentioned works with memory, which is the speed of light kind of a technology, flash and so on. So the difference in performance that level is orders of magnitude, obviously, right? And then second is, as you mentioned, the proximity, right? So there's fewer network components involved because the data is still distributed in the cloud, closer to where the applications are processing, where the end users are using their mobile devices. So there's fewer, you know, network components involved as well for them to go all the way to the back end and then have it come all the way back out for the end user to get the result they're looking for.
So if you're starting to move some applications, some systems to the cloud in order to better manage big data, what are some of the considerations? I mean, I think one of the big ones, as you were talking about, is that idea that you don't need the application and the data to necessarily be next to each other. They can just have that connection.
Absolutely right. Right. They do. Exactly. They do not need to live that closely, you know, together anymore. And I think that represents, you know, it is in a way, and we overuse this word in the industry, but it really is a paradigm shift in this case. And that whenever you have a paradigm shift that's occurring, you know, from a monolithic data structure to a distributed in memory data fabric, you've got cultural issues that need to be overcome. And I saw it when I was a CIO, and I see it all the time now, is the employees and the skill sets and their training have taken them to a certain point of confidence in that particular technology. And there's a natural resistance, right? So that needs to be overcome because the folks who are doing the data structures and design are still the folks who really understand how the old technology works, not so much into the new technology yet. So there's a cultural shift that needs to occur as well.
We're going to go back to the idea of culture shift because I think security and privacy and governance are all part of that. But it's interesting you talk about they're comfortable with a certain set of technologies and how they work. It's very similar to the conversations we've had previously about needing to hug your server box and be close to your server box and the platform as a service we talked about. This is all related.
Perfect example that with the cloud and infrastructure as a service, you don't have to hug those servers anymore, right? And in fact, you have to let go of them in order to get the benefits of cloud, the agility and the efficiency benefits. The same thing is occurring now with the data. Whereas, you know, in the monolithic, you know, database structure, you're hugging that data as well, and you need to let it go. You need to let it go to the data fabric and let it be more distributed. And that in itself is a similar kind of transition for data in the cloud, you know, to be accessible to those mobile applications and the performance that those applications requires.
You know, what I find when I talk to CIOs is that a lot of them are still looking at that big data warehouse. Are you starting to see that big data warehouse concept change a little bit, maybe more from, you know, let's have a data center that carries all this to the data warehouse in the cloud? Are you starting to see that?
I don't think there's going to be too substantial of a shift with respect to the data warehouse. Data warehouses have a use in the enterprise, and I don't see a substantial change for that. What I see happening here is with respect to the operational data store. And that database structure, I believe, is going to fundamentally have to be transformed to enable micro applications to be useful to the mobile employee. Now, that said, I see this data fabric somewhat replacing and complementing the operational data store. And then the data warehouse is still becoming a useful back-end component for heavy analytical kind of uses, which is always what it was intended for anyway. So I think we're going to see a complementary, merging of the technologies where they work well together in the future.
Let's talk about the benefits, if there are some, of about managing data in the cloud. One thing about that you've been talking about is the idea of not of moving away to a more distributed model, dealing with latency. But from a user standpoint, that's a great advantage. But what about from an administrator standpoint, a CIO standpoint, or a program standpoint about managing data in the cloud?
When you get down to the benefits of managing data in the cloud, the benefits accrue really to the overall program, not necessarily to the technical group. And by that, I mean, we're talking about enablement, right? So the first benefit, and perhaps the most significant, is that the end user, the employee that is now been or is in the process of being provisioned a tablet device or some smartphone to use in the context of their jobs, but the applications aren't really tuned to work there because the underlying data structures aren't supportive of that, and they're not really, the data's not available in the cloud, at least not in a way that is going to meet the performance requirements of the applications. So that the first is the enablement of the end user. And then second is the performance those end users need to have confidence that when they need information and just the information they need, it's going to be, served up to them in an extremely timely manner. And then that gives them the ability to make better decisions while they're performing their jobs in a mobile, remote, business use scenario, which ultimately means more productive and more satisfied employees. And that's ultimately something that really the enterprise should be concerned with.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those culture challenges that we talked about a little earlier. You are listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. And my special guest is Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal.
Reduce costs and increase application availability with server virtualization with VMware at VMware.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. Today's topic, big data, how the cloud can make it manageable. Now, Doug, before break, we're talking about some of the issues around applications and benefits of managing data in the cloud. One of the things you mentioned previously was the cultural change. And that you hear that all the time about when it comes to technology. It's never the technology, it's always the culture. But in this sense, there is a technology issue going on, especially around security and privacy, but also around governance. Give me a sense of where do you see the challenge of the culture change that leads to the technology.
You're absolutely right. I mean, in leadership, and it seems like in technology, culture change seems to come up, an inordinate, amount of times when you're trying to transform the organization. And there's reasons for that. In many cases, they're founded in valid concerns. And in this case, the valid concerns come with respect to the privacy and the security associated with data, right? And there are, very widely publicized examples whenever, the data needs, and security associated with that data are not met, right? So that kind of feeds the risk aversion part of the culture. Now, that said, it is a valid concern, and that the security requirements and the privacy requirements associated with the data need to be considered during this transition. And one of the things that I see, for example, and when I was running a federal agency, I was very outspoken with respect to the need for federated identity management solution in solutions to be implemented across the federal government. And I think this is a case where that capability would help to address the underlying security issues associated with distributed data. And by that, I mean the ability to manage and control the access requirements and the credentials associated with end users in a distributed manner, right? And to be able to feed them that access depending on the application and the device that they're using at the time, but still ensure that security is being met. And that requires a shift in how identity is managed as an enabling component across the technology infrastructure.
What's interesting about that is there's a few agencies that are starting to get out in front. Obviously, the Defense Department's a big one. But I just had a conversation recently with the NASA CIO, Linda Cureton, and they're using their HSPD-12 cards, the secure ID cards, to access Google Docs and Google applications in the cloud. And I think that's a great example of what you're talking about, is the need to have that federated identity management so you can also control who has access to what and when. Are you starting to see that from clients yet?
That is exactly right. I mean, first, that's a great example of, you know, being able to use the emerging credentialing technology and then beginning to extend it to outside the enterprise. And I think when you know, that is the capability that needs to be continued to be built on for cloud to really provide the benefits that it could. And an example of an existing customer where, you know, VMware has this type of technology with respect to, you know, data fabric and use would be in the Department of Defense, where there is a situational awareness application that is, again, globally distributed, right? And this has applicability not just for defense, but also for law enforcement, for homeland security applications and uses, and even just security in general, where the end user and the command officers need up-to-minute, you know, visibility and situational awareness of military actions as they're occurring across, you know, multiple geographies. And the VMware technology just so happens to be called VFabric Gemfire Data Fabric technology, with its, you know, robust built-in distributed data management capability, is providing the Department of Defense with lightning fast memory-based response support for disconnected operations and continuous querying and real-time analyses, which is really speeding up the delivery of the vital data to the end users in a distributed manner and at their desktops, basically at any time. And what it's done is providing, again, real-time data awareness within the operational context of situation in battle scenarios, reducing the network bandwidth and basically providing the ability to increase application performance, as we've been talking about, and reduce the number of servers required to deploy this capability in a global manner.
When you talk global, the other piece of it is, if all the data was, let's say, back in the U.S. and somebody in a commander in Iraq or Afghanistan needed to reach it, that latency would then kick in a big way. But being in the cloud, they could have nodes in Europe, they could have nodes in Turkey, they could have nodes in Japan, wherever they have bases. And that would make that latency much less.
Exactly the case. So again, you've got two really what I call performance kickers here, right? One is that the data in the cloud is in proximity closer to where the mobile end user is. And then second is the data fabric technology is so much faster, you know, leveraging in-memory processing speeds as opposed to the disk-based analytical processing, that those two things in combination provide the real-time, very rapid response that micro-applications require.
And as you said, it's all about the user. So as long as the user can stay happy, then the back-end administrators can stay happy as well. We are almost out of time, but before we finish up here, Doug, let's look into your crystal ball like we always do. Where do you see the future of cloud, big data? Where do you see that integration coming?
Well, remember, the big picture of cloud and where things are heading is, you know, there are going to be web-based cloud applications in service provider organizations, you know, like the HR and the finance and, you know, those types of applications running in service providers. There's going to be public-based cloud applications with lower security requirements. And there's going to be still a ton of mission-based applications that are going to become cloud-enabled over time. And I think, you know, where this all converges is with the end user. And the end user having a tablet kind of a device or a smartphone needs to have access to any of those types of applications. They don't care where they're running. They just know that from their immediate device, they need to have it and they need the result quickly. And this is where, you know, the federated identity management interacts with the application and the data fabric, which interacts with the cloud-based infrastructure, and it all comes together to provide that high-performance, real-time, agile, and secure capability for the end user.
On that note, very nice. We're out of time, unfortunately, but you've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I've been speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal. You can find all three of our discussions on the Federal IT Challenge on federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
To hear this show in its entirety and learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.